Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've likely seen the viral video online. A woman enters an elevator, presses buttons wildly, and looks around as if she's being chased. But what was chasing her? And more importantly, what happened to her after the video ends? Was she a victim of her own demons? Or was something more sinister to blame? Today's topic is Elisa Lam.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. So, in April, I went to Los Angeles and I stayed in what I call America's Best Murder Inn. I just sort of looked up.
That is a Yelp review right there.
It was going to be. I just sort of typed in, like, you know, hotels.com and, like, 3 stars, less than this many dollars. And my comedy partner and I each booked a room. And he relied on me, which was a mistake.
Was this Adam?
Adam. Uh-huh. It was a mistake because we got there and it was definitely in Skid Row, which you never, that's not a place you ever want to be.
Named that neighborhood? I mean, it's exactly what you would think it is.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And apparently today's topic is like a mile away from that.
Oh, really?
So I was not too far.
What was
far
the hotel you stayed at?
It was called America's Best Value Inn.
Oh, but you called it America's Best Murder Inn.
Yeah. So I, when I was looking into this hotel, they were saying that, you know, it doesn't have a good reputation.
No.
And I was like, yeah, I can vouch for that.
What was that area like?
Skid Row?
How long ago was this?
This was April 2018. I was there.
Oh, so this was, so is it still pretty shitty?
Yes.
Okay, because they say it's like
It's being
on the
gentrified.
Being gentrified.
So, like, but we were in this, like, nightmare hotel, motel, because the doors opened to the outside, and they were, like, luckily they were, like, steel doors, but they were, like, windows.
Bulletproof also, doors.
Full confession. Not everything functioned very well, including the bathroom. And, you know, if you go, sometimes, you know, you flush, and it just sort of runs, and nothing uh-huh. happens. Well, in the morning, I had my constitutional, the morning that we were going to check out, and I flushed, and all the water went out of the bowl, leaving
just
the damage.
Just the damage,
and then none of the water came back.
Oh, that's the worst.
But then we had to check out, so I just left.
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
And Adam and I were getting in the rental car, and I was like, go, 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 and he's like, what? I was like, shh. Just go.
Hey, that's on them, if you ask me. What are you going to go down to the front desk and be like, pardon me.
I've destroyed your toilet.
Yes, there's just a turd in your toilet. They're like, Sam's water.
That is not the worst thing that people have left in the hotel or the toilet.
That was probably the best thing they found in that hotel room.
Yeah, you guys are freaking welcome. So Skid Row, would not recommend it. Also, maybe do a little bit more research, Heather, before you travel.
I don't think I've been to L.A. many a time. I do not think I've ever been to Skid Row. But like what I would imagine it would be.
What I know Skid Row from is Little Shop of Horrors. That's Skid Row is what they sing about on the I Gotta Get Outta Here song.
The shop is on Skid Row?
I believe it is.
Oh, well, that explains why all that nonsense is going on.
Yeah, I mean, the one song is called Skid Row. It's a really good song. I can sing all the parts to it, too.
Oh, I like Suddenly Seymour.
Oh, God. That song makes you cry. Yeah, I like the dentist in that movie.
Well, you've been talking about Skid Row, not the band, mind you.
Oh, that was a band.
Yeah. I think you're right when you say was. I don't think they... I don't think they've had anything current in years, so I'm assuming they've broken up.
Rest in peace, Skid Row.
Yeah. And rest in peace, Elisa Lam.
Oh, yeah. Topic.
Who is the topic of today.
A viewer request from several people.
If you haven't subscribed to our TV station yet.
I've been watching a lot of Fox 4 News in the morning. They have viewer's voice, which is just where... I would say unhinged people call the news and shout into the ether. I imagine when it answers, it's like, thanks for calling Fox 4. At the tone, please shout whatever emotional issues you're having. And people just call and holler into it. And it's just
what are they mad about? Like politics?
Anything and everything. And they have, and I do appreciate Fox 4 because they're a little bit cheeky and they'll say like, they'll play kind of both sides of the issue. And normally the more rational side, it sounds a little bit more rational and they'll have like a psychotic person just being like, why would you fire a police officer for shooting somebody? And you're like, Mom, maybe they're in their house unarmed and just trying to hang out and watch football. And so they always pick, like, for the worst takes, they always pick the worst audio, which is, I think, pretty fair.
That's the news. I might have to start watching this because it sounds just like a bunch of bloopers.
It, the viewer's voice, and it's like, why would you take phone calls from these people?
Good TV?
I guess so. I will say my Uncle Jerry, who I love so much and so deep, he's one of my just absolute favorite humans on the planet. He gets real mad about just anything. And
I feel that.
If you're not from Dallas, look up Pete Delkus. He's a local weatherman who everyone calls it like the Delkus measure, where like the worse the storm gets, the more clothes he takes off. So he like he'll loosen his tie, then he'll take the jacket off, then he rolls the sleeves up, then the tie is gone. And if it's like if the top button comes unbuttoned, there's gonna be a tornado.
Yeah, and, we're all fucked.
But my uncle hates how big his head is.
He does have a big head, though.
He hates Pete Delkus's giant head, and he called the station and was like, tell Pete Delkus not to stand so close to the camera because his head's so big. It's just like,
oh, that was a viewer's voice?
No, well, that's Channel 8, so they don't have viewer's voice. Channel 8's like, well, if we did viewer's voice, it'd only be complaints about Pete Delkus.
Right. Someone passed that message along to him, though.
He also complained to the newspaper because they stopped putting staples in the TV guides. He's so mad. He called the newspaper.
Uncle Jerry is my spirit animal.
I'll have further Uncle Jerry stories as we go. But
please, always share an Uncle Jerry story.
Oh my goodness. So today's topic is someone who had an unfortunate experience in a hotel.
Yes, on Skid Row. Elisa Lam is our topic today. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into this. So who was Elisa Lam? Elisa Lam was a 21-year-old college student from British Columbia. She had recently withdrawn from the University of British Columbia to travel solo across the West Coast.
Which sounds super fun. I should have dropped out of college.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying last night to a group of people.
Oh, was I in that?
You may have been there. That college is a sham and I should have just traveled after high school.
We've gotten a lot more out of life.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I would have spent way less money.
I heard that.
Yeah. So her plan was to start in San Diego, gorgeous city.
Oh, so nice.
And eventually make her way to Santa Cruz. Don't know if I've been there, but...
Home of the Slugs, from what I remember about college mascots.
The Santa Slugs?
Cruz. I believe UC Santa Cruz is the Banana Slug.
Well, I have a new favorite team.
I relate heavily to the Banana Slug.
That's fantastic. I want a Banana Slug shirt. Well, during her travels, she called her parents every day and had a blog that she regularly updated. On it, she posted pictures of models and fashion and also talked about her struggles with mental illness.
There's a Tumblr page.
Tumblr page, yes. So she had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression and was taking several prescribed medications, including Wellbutrin, Lamictal, Seroquel, and Effexor. I have taken 3 of 4 of these.
What's your review?
I'll tell you right now. Well, I'm currently on Wellbutrin.
Okay. I've heard good things about that.
Wellbutrin's good. I have not taken Lamictal. Seroquel is the devil.
Oh, no way. What's it
Holy
do to
Holy shit. I have never been in such a bad mood and just so, like... not in control of my emotions.
Oh, wow.
When they prescribed, I used to have this doctor that Tommy called her a gunslinger. She would like literally prescribe anything and everything to me. I'd just be like, oh, I'm having trouble sleeping. She's like, oh, cool. Here's a prescription for Seroquel, which is a medication that is used for people that, well, it can be used for depression, but more bipolar, but it's very rarely prescribed anymore because it has such serious side effects.
She's like, I saw a commercial. It's fine. You'll get diarrhea of the mouth and anger and punching is a side effect.
Yeah.
But,
I took it to go to sleep. The next morning, I could barely wake up. I was so out of it and foggy headed, but I was also in just the worst mood and just like depressed and angry. It was terrible.
Isn't it so bizarre? I guess not bizarre. It's like fascinating how our brains are just like a puddle of chemicals. And you know what? If you introduce things to it, it'll change it. I have ADHD for which I am not medicated. I try. You should use computers and tile trackers, really, to manage my ADHD.
What are tile trackers?
They're like little tiles, and you put them on things that you lose. So I just have, like, tiles on everything. So it's like a little square. And if you want to sponsor the podcast, please, I put them on literally everything in my life. And it's a little square that's Bluetooth connected to your phone. And so you put them on your keys, or, like, I put them on my motorcycle key, my house key, my car key. Things I don't want to lose. And then if you lose them, you mash a button and it'll say it's within 20 feet or 50 feet or 100 feet or last seen here. And it rings. And then vice versa for many times for as much as I have my phone in my hand, I lose it constantly.
Me too.
But if I can at least find one of the tiles around the house, if you mash on it, it'll ring your phone. Even if your phone's on silent.
I need this.
They're really great.
I need to put them on all my chapsticks.
Yes, you do lose your chapsticks. And you love your chapsticks.
For our listeners that do not know me personally, I have a bit of a problem with chapstick, specifically Burt's Bees. Many would say I'm addicted. I would not argue that. I have to have it with me constantly, and I apply it, and I don't even know I'm doing it half the time, but I lose it all the time. So I need these little tiles to put them on. Tommy would be so happy.
Because you wouldn't be losing all.
Yes, and then I'll take his, and then I'll lose his, and it's just a never-ending cycle. It's a whole thing.
But to be honest, they gave me ADHD medicine when I was in college, and one of them, I can't remember the name of it, but one of them, it knocked me out. I mean, I was laid out. And
Ritalin?
Like he said, no, it wasn't really. Because I think it was an SSRI, and it wasn't a stimulant. And the type of ADHD I have, I need stimulants, which I drink. So I said I'm not medicated. I drink so much coffee all the time. So I'm like, basically medicated.
Wait, so your ADHD needs, because that's interesting, because ADHD is like, means you're overstimulated,
well,
right?
Well, it's interesting because like people who don't have ADHD and take like, what do you call it, Adderall?
Yeah.
They get all like hyped up.
Yes, I have done that. It's High college. Speaking of college.
Okay, well, so they gave me Adderall as a test in college, and it turned me into a motherfucking zombie.
Really?
It leveled me out so much. You know my personality.
Yeah.
Fairly. I told you the other day, people tend to think I'm drunk when I'm not, because I'm just like, I'll just say anything that pops into my mouth, you know, pops into my head.
You're very bubbly.
Very bubbly. I'm always like in a fairly good mood, or at least like an upbeat, even if I'm like, well, today's the shittiest day of my life. You know, I'll like kind of joke around about it. I was like, my boss at the time was like, well, are you okay? And I was just like, I'll organize the tattoos next. We had little temporary tattoos we gave out. And she was like, you never organize anything. I was like, it'll be fine. I'll
organize the tattoos. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, she's like, you're like a Stepford wife. Somebody replaced your personality.
Oh, man.
It's horrible. And then I couldn't sleep. So I sleep like a log, and I sleep very easily. So I normally I'm all jacked up during the day. I put my head on my beautiful Crown Royal bag of a mattress, fall asleep easily at night. No, when I was on that medicine, holy cow, I was awake 24/7.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to gouge my eyes off. So all this to say, bless poor little Elisa Lamb's heart for being on all this shit, because it will, in the right combination, it's great, but it can really screw your brain up.
Oh, for sure. I have been on numerous medications for anxiety and depression, and it takes a really long time to find the right cocktail that doesn't make you feel like you're going to climb the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a long, arduous process that is not a fun one to go through. And these were just like four of the medications
she was on
even more than this.
Some ADHD meds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, and so it sounds like they weren't working.
Perhaps, yeah. Or,
well, I mean,
or
she
wasn't
taking
them regularly to.
That's a problem.
Because all of these, some of these are SSRIs, and they have to build up in your system.
Correct.
And then if you stop taking them,
it's
not like something you can just take as needed.
Yeah,
you have
SSRI,
to take them regularly.
It was like I had to take one pill one day, then one the next day, then two, then three, then four, then five, then five, then five, then six, then six. And it's like, you know, you like build up.
Yeah, and it's
and I couldn't just stop. I told them, I was like, I hate it. They're like, well, okay, we'll keep taking it and just lower it and lower it.
And so, then if you want to stop, you have to wean yourself off, because if you just stop cold turkey, you will lose your mind.
Yeah.
It's having mental health problems sucks. Treating mental health problems also sucks. So it's just a shitty situation all the way around.
Well, and so in 2012, she had a rough go.
Yes. So in January of 2012, she posted on her blog that she had a relapse, and it forced her to drop several of her classes at the university she was attending, and that she was feeling helpless and lost because of this. And a recurring quote on her blog was, "You're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life." And that is from Chuck Palahniuk. Have you read some of his books?
First of all, I never knew how to say his last name.
I'm 80% sure that's right. It could be wrong, though.
No. Someone told me about a book where somebody sat on a pool drain and their butthole got sucked out.
Yep, I've read that.
No interest in
that. I can't remember the name of it. There's one called Haunted.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own.
And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
And then that might be the one
choke
that's like...
Choke is one of them called Choke.
There's Choke, yeah. And then...
Butthole Suckers Anonymous, yeah.
Butthole Pool Suckers is another one. But one of them, I think it's Haunted. The cover has a ghost on it. I did not know it glows in the dark.
Oh, no.
So I was reading this at night, went to bed, set the book on my nightstand, woke up in the middle of the night to pee, rolled over... Nearly had a goddamn heart attack
because
this ghost is glowing on my nightstand. I was like, "Oh my god, what's happening?
Like, who did this?"
Yeah, good book though. He if you like weird, creepy, dark stuff, check him out. He's very good. Well, on January 26th of 2013, Elisa made a reservation for a 3-day stay at the infamous Cecil Hotel on Skid Row,
and
which
so for
we
a
know
little,
sucks.
Well, yeah. And so for a little bit, she'd been having a nice time in San Diego and texting pictures and calling her parents mm-hmm. and keeping up and saying, I'm having a great time. This is my West Coast tour. Things are going well.
Yeah. And then suddenly they weren't. So she makes the reservation at the Cecil Hotel. On January 28th, she checks in. Initially, she was placed in a room with two other women, but they soon complained to the front desk about her odd behavior, and she was moved to a solo room.
I've done a lot of digging, and I could not find what the odd behavior was. I could not find somebody describing what it was.
Right.
Of what they complained
judging
about.
Judging from what I saw, what we've seen from the video we'll discuss later.
Something like that.
I imagine, yeah, she was probably just kind of off and acting like erratic and
strange. Have
you strange.
Ever stayed in a hostel?
No, and I never will.
Okay, so I stayed in a hostel the first time I ever went to Chicago, January 2007, and my best friend Leanne and I, my wife and I.
You're on your honeymoon?
Yeah. We were staying in the hostel, and this lady checks in, and she's like, looks like Julia Child, like the elderly woman that cooked on television. Mm-hmm. And just sort of, she's barrel-shaped around the middle. Just
oh,
like
nice.
Just a grandma. She looked, and she was nice. She was Canadian. And she was like, I took the bus in from Toronto. I just want to, you know, see the sights of the city. And we're like, oh, cool, you know, welcome, whatever. And me and Leanne are sitting on the bed, and I was writing in my journal, and Leanne's a very great artist. And she was sketching, and she like, elbows me and flips the page, and this beautiful woman has disrobed to just her granny panties.
Ooh.
And was in a bra, like a Playtex kind of like 18-hour bra. Mm-hmm. And she's hunkered over the side of the bed. She's hunkered over the side of the bed, and she's got a Ziploc bag, and she's fiddling with something in the Ziploc bag. And Leanne elbows me, and she's like, look what's in the bag. And I'm like, oh, it's drugs. No, it was a hard-boiled egg. She was peeling a hard-boiled egg she brought herself. And she goes, oh, I boiled these back home in Toronto. And I brought it for a snack. So she's just in her underpants. It looked like a fucking Monet painting. It was gorgeous. And Leanne just starts sketching it. And she's like, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Draw me like one of your French women.
Yeah, draw me like one of your Canadian women hunkered over eating a hard-boiled egg.
She's the only person in a hostel that's pulled a hard-boiled egg out of a plastic baggie. Because I was like, all right, she has weed. She has shroom. She has X.
Oh, no, it's a
hard-boiled egg.
I brought it from Toronto. It's really good. I'm excited to eat it.
Did y'all like hang out with her?
No, she went to.
But you have to sleep in the same room as
her.
Yeah. That's why I will never in my life go to a hostel.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a bed and breakfast. I don't want to go to a hostel. I don't want to do anything where I have to associate with people that I don't want to associate with.
Yeah,
that's my nightmare.
I don't want to share space with
people. No, I barely like sharing my house with my husband. I'm sure as hell not going to do it with a bunch of people I've never met. That just bring out hard-boiled eggs and walk around in their frillies.
Or behave erratically and have to get switched to another room.
Yeah, all of this sounds like a nightmare. Well, on January 31st, Elisa was scheduled to check out of the Cecil Hotel and head to Santa Cruz. When her parents did not hear from her, because she called them every day to check in and tell them how she was doing, they became worried and contacted the Vancouver PD, who then contacted the LAPD. Initially, her parents did not mention her mental illness to the police for fear that they would write her off.
Which isn't that sad.
So sad.
That, I mean, they're not wrong.
And they're not wrong, yeah, exactly.
They're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would just be, oh, she's probably,
but she probably
had a breakdown. But, it, I mean, to me and a lot of people, you would assume, oh, that would make them more the police more concerned and more likely to, like, escalate this to something that's not just, like, maybe a missing person.
Yeah.
Well, police questioned the hotel staff, and they said they had seen her that day and that she was alone. A manager at a nearby bookstore said she had come into her store to purchase some souvenirs for her family. She said Elisa appeared outgoing and friendly and didn't seem like anything was wrong. The police searched the room she had been staying in, various parts of the hotel, and the roof. However, they were unable to search all of the rooms without probable cause that a crime had been committed.
That is correct, because when you're staying in a hotel, you have dominion over your room for the time that you're checked in. So you don't have to let the police in if they come to search unless they have a warrant.
So to them, it was like, right now this is just a possible missing persons case, but we don't know if a crime has been committed?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and there wasn't like screams coming out from one of the rooms. So there's like reasons why police can search an area without a warrant. And one of them is exigent circumstances, which would be like there's smoke coming out from under the door. And they're like, it could be on fire. Or like someone's screaming, help me from inside. And they're like, a person could be injured. Or someone's throwing stuff out the window that looks like maybe evidence is being destroyed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, kick the shit in so we can save the evidence.
Gotcha.
So, but in this case, it's just a bunch of people chilling in their rooms. There's not any circumstances for which they would need to enter the room.
They also brought canines to the hotel and searched several areas, but the canines did not detect anything in the areas that were searched. So when the LAPD still had no leads as of February 6th, so at this point she's been missing for several weeks.
Several days, like a week.
Yeah, like a week. So she went, the last day was January 31st that somebody saw her, yeah. They posted missing person flyers in the neighborhoods and online. On February 14th, they released a video of Elisa in an elevator captured at the hotel on the last day she was seen alive. In the video, she is seen acting very strange. The video was widely reposted and immediately went viral. Many commenters found it to be unsettling. It raised many questions and theories as to what had happened to cause her bizarre and erratic behavior.
This video. I find it very upsetting.
Do you?
I do.
You find it unsettling?
So body language experts, also known as just fucking idiots.
Wait, body language experts are idiots?
Not all of them, but the ones that were consulted for this case were like, okay. She looks, she looks fun. Like, she's having a good time.
Oh.
No.
Okay, so if you haven't seen this video, let's kind of explain
we'll
it.
We'll describe
to the
it.
Okay. So in the video, the elevator doors open. Elisa is seen getting into the elevator. She immediately bends down to look at all the floor buttons and just pushes like 10 of them in a row. And the doors remain open. She's seen like sticking her head out, kind of like frantically looking down the hallway.
She looks left, looks right.
Yeah, then like darting back in quickly to the elevator and pushing herself up against the wall.
She hides like around in a corner where if you were outside the elevator, you wouldn't see her.
Yeah.
She sort of flails her arm kind of come hitherly through the elevator door.
Yeah, at one point she kind of steps out a little bit past the doors of the elevator, and it almost seems like she's talking to someone and motioning to them, but we never see that person on camera. So, and the entire length of this video, it appears that the elevator is malfunctioning because the doors are never closing. Nobody else comes on to the elevator. It doesn't go anywhere.
You don't see anybody walk past the open doors.
No. And then eventually she just walks down the hall out of sight of the camera. And very quickly after she leaves, the doors to the elevator shut. And then a few seconds pass, they open. A few seconds pass, they close, like it would if it had just started working again and maybe somebody was pressing the button on the outside. It's very creepy. There's no audio to it. And Multiple people have a list of theories to explain why she might have been acting the way she did.
Well, and also some people allege that the video has been sped up or slowed down in parts and also, like, edited.
The timestamp in the bottom corner is blurred out. It's obscured. Some of the parts of the video seem kind of sped up or slowed down. There's about a minute of the video that was edited out before it was ever released, and that has a lot of people speculating. A lot of people, though, say that could have just been, like, perhaps another resident of the hotel did come on, and they deleted them out so there wouldn't be any kind of suspicion because they'd already been, their name had been cleared, and they just didn't want to be wrapped up in it or
that
something.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So here are some theories as to explain why she might have been acting this way. Some make sense. Some make very little sense.
Yeah, sometimes grasping wildly.
Yeah. So one of the first theories is she was on drugs. Not like the drugs she had been prescribed, but ecstasy or some other kind of
Molly
party drugs.
Yeah.
I don't think so. She did not. To me, I have seen people on drugs. I have been on drugs. And that is not how people really act on party drugs.
Yeah, she didn't really look like she was having a good time.
No, she looks very paranoid.
Yes.
Like she's trying to get away from someone that might be following her, or she's just very nervous and frantic, but she does not look, which, I mean, some drugs do cause severe paranoia, and you could act like that, but I do not think that she was on those kind of drugs. Another theory, paranormal activity. I mean, I guess.
Well, obviously it's a demon.
Well, segueing into the next one, which this could this is
wait. Did we just give up on paranormal?
No,
activity?
They're connected. The next one into paranormal activity.
Proceed. My apologies.
So one of the more likely scenarios here that is a possibility is a shady character from the hotel or the seedy neighborhood around it was following her.
That makes sense.
Yes, because the Cecil Hotel was no stranger to murder, suicides, crimes, prostitution, and drugs. The hotel had opened in 1927 and had so many suicides occur during the 30s, 40s, and 50s that it became nicknamed the Suicide. Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, was a regular at the hotel and had been seen drinking at the bar a few days before her death on January 14th, 1947. In 1964, Goldie Osgood, also known as the Pigeon Lady of Pershing Square, was raped and murdered in her room. Here's some serial killers that stayed there, Heather.
Good God.
Richard Ramirez, also known as the original Night Stalker, stayed there during his killing spree during the mid-80s. In the 1990s, Austrian serial killer Jack Unterweger strangled and murdered at least three prostitutes while staying there.
And some say that he stayed there because Richard Ramirez stayed there, and it was like a homage.
Like a tribute to him, mm-hmm, almost? That's, mm-hmm, that's real fun.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, Steve Erickson, a journalist who spent a night in the hotel after Elisa's death, was quoted as saying, "The Cecil will reveal to you whatever it is you're a fugitive from."
You're married to a Stephen King fan. Does this remind you of 1408?
Yes, it does.
God,
very
that movie
so.
Fucking scares the shit out of me. Yeah. I'm sorry to be so vulgar, but oh my God. The Leprechaun movie, there's a fairly short list of stuff that just really just wrecks my brain. John Cusack.
Wrecks
hardly know him. John Cusack.
Love him, by the way.
I met him, you guys. I have a really cute picture of me and John Cusack. Let me just say, like, everybody else, he kind of begrudgingly, like, put it, like, okay, smile. And I was, like, super bubbly, and I was like, hey, how are you? And he just, like, was very disarmed.
Where was it?
At, like, a Comic-Con, or, like, what was it, Dallas Fan Days, like, 2 years ago.
Nice.
And he was like, hey, how are you? And when we took our picture, I, like, kind of snuck my arms, like, around him.
Yeah.
And then he put his arms around me, so we look like a couple,
yeah,
you guys. A very cute couple.
He's as cute in real life as
he is
in movies.
Beautiful, and yeah. I love him so much.
I love him, too.
John Cusack, if you're listening.
Oh, my God.
Please be my boyfriend.
My heart just fluttered.
I'm very successful. I'm really funny and cute.
She's all of those things, John Cusack.
I feel like we would get along really
and
well.
And by proxy, you would get to meet me.
You get to be friends with Christy,
too. If that sweetens the deal.
It's a benefit. But this is just my tribute slash, what do you call it, my
homage?
Call to action for John Cusack.
Yeah. We will start a change.org to get John Cusack to listen
just
to
go on
podcast.
A date with me. I swear to God, you'll have so much fun.
You would.
I'm a super good date.
I bet you are. Well, all this to...
So John Cusack in 1408 is this move, is this
it,
hotel.
It, basically, yeah.
Where there's, like, horrible things that have happened, so it's got, like, bad vibes in
yes.
all the rooms.
So to tie this into the paranormal activity, a lot of people, I mean, understandably so, think this hotel is cursed and haunted because of all of the horrific things that have happened there. So maybe not that crazy that it could have been some kind of ghost paranormal thing going on.
That
perhaps.
She, yeah, or the, yeah, something some, chasing
something
her.
Spooked her, yeah. Here's some more outlandish theories. The government had her killed.
This is bizarre.
So, and there's not one, but two different reasons why the government may have had her killed. So the first one is because on her blog, she referenced a project that is currently in the works between the U.S. and South Korea that's funded by the Pentagon to develop invisibility cloaking technology, which just sounds like a fun Harry Potter project, if you ask me.
Have you seen those robots, though? I feel like that anything is possible.
Which robots?
The ones that the Army created that literally can just walk and you push them over and they just stand back up and keep walking.
Oh, God.
It's a nightmare. So, probably not wrong. Like, they probably do have invisibility cloaks.
Oh, yeah. There could be a government agent in this room right now with us, and we wouldn't know because he's cloaked in invisibility.
Ah, shit, don't say that. Oh, you know what? You want to leave this house. You want to know what goes on here. Me and my Snuggie just filling it with farts, watching Seinfeld all the time.
Oh, that sounds
get out.
Like a dream.
Just get out of my house. Save yourself.
So the second government reason could have been that they were using her as a guinea pig for a trial of a tuberculosis test. Here's where things get really weird, though. So,
you mean weird like this theory makes no sense, or weird like it may have happened?
Weird that this is too coincidental for my brain to make sense of it.
Okay, yeah.
So the test that they use for this tuberculosis test is called the enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, or as it's known, Lamb ELISA.
That's weird.
Is that not fucking crazy? Like, this was not named because of her. This was already an established thing.
That's so
weird. And then
weird.
Her name just happens to be Elisa Lamb.
And they were testing it while she was there?
So, while she was staying at the hotel, it happened to coincide with the tuberculosis outbreak on Skid Row that kind of affected, like, all of Los Angeles. And a common antibiotic that's administered for TB is called isoniazid, which has side effects of abnormal behavior and confusion. The only reason that this is probably not what happened at all, is that the toxicology report did not show this any of these drugs in her system.
That's true. Because they did, I mean, they were, spoiler alert, they find a body. And they were able to test and do an autopsy.
However, so if the government, as we know from Dyatlov Pass, if the government's involved in something, they have the ability to cover things up and edit things out that they don't want the public to know.
Like 1 minute of a video. Yep. I will say I'm a big believer in, like, things having meaning, which is probably nonsense. Like, stuff like that happening of, like, oh, it's so weird that that test was going on at the same time she was there. That can't just be a coincidence. But maybe, like, 5 years ago, this article was written on Atlantic called Coincidences and the Meaning of Life by Julie Beck. And it'll blow your friggin' mind. And it's just about how, and you'll appreciate this as one who has studied psychology, but it's basically how statistically things are likely to happen, even if they're like minutely likely to happen. And it talks about how your brain naturally wants to like make things into order. Mm-hmm. And so when it can't easily come to a logical conclusion, it kind of short circuits and it makes you just be like, wow, it's magic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, the article's really good.
That, I recommend. That sounds kind of like a conversation Tommy and I had recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. But it was that same thing of like, kind of like if you, like our brains, if you look at a paragraph and half of the letters have been omitted, your brain can still read what it's saying because we fill in the gaps and like we make those connections. So we always want things to make sense. But in this situation, and I guess it's kind of what you're saying, like we want this, the fact that the test is called Lam Elisa and she's staying there when this is going on to like have some kind of a connection. But the reality is it's probably just a coincidence.
Yeah. I mean, Carl Jung or whatever talks about it. And they talk about it in the article about, you know, synchronicity, that maybe there are things that are connected or maybe your brain looks for connections and that's why they happen. But it's just one of those like really strange things where you're like, there's no way that could be real. But
yeah.
I mean, Elise is a pretty, you know, common name. Yeah. Lam's a common Chinese surname. Sure. Like, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's probably just a coincidence. It's just a mind-blowing coincidence.
It's just mind-blowing, yeah.
So this next theory is also pretty mind-blowing. The Korean elevator game.
This is what I really think happened.
Do you really think this?
I mean, I kind of do.
Kind of, in a way. I think this could half explain things, and I'll explain that after I explain the rules of the Korean elevator game. So the rules of how you play this and why you would play this is to enter another dimension, or known or called the other world. So the rules, you have to use an elevator in a building that's at least 10 stories high. You must press the elevator buttons in a specific sequence. If you do this correctly, you may find yourself in the other world. Also worth noting, when you reach the fifth floor, a young woman may enter the elevator, but you are not to look at her or speak to her, for she is not what she seems. So, pressing the elevators in a specific sequence, we see in the video of Elisa Lam that she is, like, almost methodically and with intent pressing these buttons. Then we see her maybe speaking to someone and acting very strange. Could that have been the person, the woman on the fifth floor that she wasn't supposed to see because she was staying on the fifth floor?
Okay. I'm telling you. And so I looked up too the elevator game on some. And okay, to be fair, the article I read was written by Anonymous.
Great author.
On Thought
Catalog. Very reputable author.
On Thought Catalog, where anybody can publish anything. Mm-hmm. And
he's
probably
12 years old.
Yeah. It's a very well written creepypasta, or it's someone who did the elevator game and did it wrong. And they talk about that they got to the fifth floor. And that a woman got on the elevator. They also said that.
What happened?
Well, it says, you know, it's been reported that that a woman may enter on the elevator on floor 5. She may appear as a stranger who wishes to engage with you. More importantly, she may appear as someone you know.
Mm.
So then you're kind of fucked because you don't want to be rude.
Yeah. Like, what if you got on the elevator, fifth floor, I walk on, and you're like, oh, my good friend Christy's here.
It's a GD trap, dude.
And then you talk to me, and it's not me. Flip side, you don't talk to me, and it is me, and I'm like, what the fuck is Heather?
And you're like, what is wrong with Heather?
Why isn't Heather talking to
She's
me?
She's so rude.
Why is she so mad?
Well, the anonymous account I read was that they got to the fifth floor, and a woman did get on. Mm. And this is quoting, the problem is that I never had an opportunity not to look at her because I was looking at the lights above the door telling me which floor I was on, and it startled me when the elevator stopped. By then, I was already looking at the door as she was getting on. Well, you dummy, that's not how the game works.
Yeah, you should have read the rules.
Because really, you're supposed to just, like, stare at the floor or at the buttons.
So what, is this woman on the fifth floor like a demon?
No, this person describes her as she had light hair, light blonde hair, and striking green eyes and freckles. She started talking about how there had been an accident on the fifth floor and if I would go back with her to help. I didn't speak.
Oh my gosh, that gave me chills.
And then it says she started to get angry and started cussing at her. I'm not going to say these very disgusting words, but basically, like, fucking pay attention to me. I'm talking to you. So the anonymous said they just, like, freaked out and moved into the corner and staring at the elevator buttons and was trying to go to the first floor and was hitting the first floor, but it stopped on the third floor. And then the woman on the elevator began to cry.
Oh.
Like a sad, mournful cry. But then the anonymous said it sort of sounded kind of pathetic, kind of like a trick.
Uh-huh.
And then it said that it became from a cry to this, like, cackle.
Mm-hmm.
So she stopped. She started crying slowly, and then it went to, like, a high-pitched cackle. And hatred filled the person, and they grabbed her by the hair and smashed her head into the door over and over again. Like, it made...
Wait, the person...
The anonymous person went nutso and started smashing up the girl for crying and laughing. And then,
which is probably
what they wanted.
That thing's intent.
And then the elevator went like a ding and the door opened or whatever. And the person got off at floor one. And it just keeps on going. I mean,
it sounds like a creepypasta.
But
it's also,
the person
mean, creepy.
Said,
and that's the point of creepypastas is that as we discussed in Slenderman, that
you
suspend reality and you're supposed to pretend like this is real.
This is a real thing. And this person said every night for the past 10 nights after she did it, she would go to sleep. And when she would shut her eyes, she felt like she was opening her eyes and was standing in the office building where she had done it. And was like kept getting like trapped back there.
Oh, so. God.
Anyway, it's really creepy.
Well, I mean, so maybe she was, this is what I think. I don't think this is really has anything to do with what happened, but if it did, I don't think it really happened to her. I think maybe she was like, oh, I'm going to play the Korean elevator game.
And it was like,
And she was just doing it because to do it. And then that's what we see on the thing.
And it didn't, there was no effect. Well, yeah, I don't think that she got snatched up by, like, the woman on the fifth floor.
No. So, the most likely theory and what I think happened is that she was having a manic episode due to her bipolar and she wasn't taking her meds. And this, what we saw was the result of that. Your theory?
There's some sort of foul play.
You do think someone might have been chasing her?
Well, based on the tank, which we'll get into.
Yeah, okay. So, and we already said some believe that the video was tampered with because of the
missing minute.
The missing minute, the time stamp being obscured. Some things seem to be slowed up and then slowed down. So perhaps there's something to be said for that too. On February 19th, residents of the hotel began to complain of low water pressure.
This makes me want to vomit.
Yeah. Get the buckets ready, guys.
This is worse than any moment. Anything I've done in a hotel toilet. And worse than anything that Christy's done in Albertson's parking lot.
Way worse.
It's worse.
Way worse.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges.
On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Minnie said that the water was coming out of the faucets black and tasted and smelled foul.
God.
Eventually, maintenance went to check out the water tanks on the roof of the hotel to see what might be the problem.
So this guy's got to take a ladder with him.
Yeah.
This maintenance man, he's got to unlock an armed, locked door, because there's four ways to get to the roof. Three fire escapes and one roof door.
That only staff has a key to.
Staff has a key and it's alarmed, supposedly. Yes. Takes a ladder. He's got to go get on a platform, put the ladder up next to a water tank, open a really heavy hatch.
And then he peers into the water tank to find Elisa Lamb's body floating inside.
Yep.
She was naked, badly bloated, and decomposing. Her clothes, which were coated with a sand-like particulate, her watch, and her room key were also floating in the water nearby. Her cell phone was nowhere to be found.
That also makes me suspicious that there was foul play.
I think the cell phone not being there is a big red flag, especially since she was calling her family daily to check in.
Correct. And the depth of the tank made it impossible for someone who would be in the water to pull the hatch down after them. And they also said that there were no signs of, like, scratching or anything on the inside of the tank.
Like she was trying to get out.
I think that she was knocked unconscious by somebody and then, or not knocked unconscious, but like somehow knocked out, whether they put their hand on her mouth or whatever, and then stuck her in the tank.
And then put her in there?
Yeah.
So these tanks, there were four of them, and they all sit atop this like large concrete block. And we'll post a picture of them on our Instagram. But they are 4 foot by 8 foot, cylindrical, and have 1,000 gallons of water in them. So they are very big. They provided water to the guest rooms, the hotel kitchen, and a coffee shop.
So people have been drinking lattes that have been fouled up by tainted water with human remains.
She'd been in there for almost a month.
Yes.
That people were bathing in this, drinking it,
brushing their
cooking
teeth.
With it. God. I mean, the kitchen was using it to cook pasta. God knows what. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, you think it was black and smelled foul? It's because a body had been just steeping in it for a
month. God, on a rooftop.
On a rooftop. Yeah, exactly. With, like, the L.A. sun beating down on it. Well, fairly quickly, the coroner ruled the cause of death as an accidental drowning. However, no one had a clear answer as to how she wound up in the tank. Like Heather said, the doors and stairs to the rooftop were locked and only staff had the keys. Some speculated that perhaps one of the doors had been mistakenly left open, but that probably would have set off an alarm. Some think she accessed the roof via the fire escape. Even if she had, to access the top of the tanks, a ladder had to be used and there wasn't one on the roof. In addition, the lids to the tanks did not have hinges. While it's feasible one person might be able to remove the lid on their own, putting it back in place once inside the tank would be nearly impossible. This is why I think somebody may have been involved.
Yeah, it couldn't have just been her.
I've never had a manic episode. So I'm not entirely sure
what goes on in your mind.
What you might be capable of in that scenario. Yeah, or what goes on in your mind. I do think she was having a manic episode, and that's what was going on in the
video.
The elevator. If she thought someone was chasing her and her life was in danger, perhaps she did go up the fire escape onto this roof and tried to hide in this water tank. That's what some people think. But how would she have got the lid back on? Because she could. It's so deep, you can't stand.
No, yeah,
so she's not being able to stand and do it. So it's just, it seems you'd have to have almost like superhuman strength, which maybe if you're having a manic episode, you can muster.
Or when I mean, it could be too that, you know, she got in the tank, a worker goes up to check the roof, sees the lid off and goes, oh, well, that's weird. This lid's off the tank. And if she's having a problem and is like scared for her life and hides up against the side, and they just put the lid on because they think, well, shit, you know.
Why was she naked?
I don't know. I mean, when I had that bad reaction
to that stuff,
I yanked my fingernails off and wanted to yank all my clothes off. So, I mean, you just, there's not a rational explanation.
Yeah, I do think she could have got into that tank on her own accord. I also don't think it's crazy to think someone put her in there.
Yeah, or she was in there and somebody left her in there or somebody locked her in there.
Yeah, I don't think that someone was chasing her when the elevator thing was going on.
Oh, really?
I think that perhaps...
That was, like, in her head, maybe?
Yeah, I think she was having, like, hallucinations and a manic episode. That's not to say... I mean, this is Skid Row. There's ne'er-do-wells all in this hotel, all in this neighborhood. Maybe she's wrong person, wrong time, and...
Ran into somebody,
Or, I mean, it could have even been a staff member. If they have the keys, you know.
Because there hasn't been any other video released.
No.
You think that the police officers would have, you know, watched the video maybe. I don't know. They obviously ruled it an accidental drowning.
Accidental drowning. And they did say that the bipolar disorder
was a contributor
into it. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yes. So, not surprisingly, guests of the hotel filed a class action lawsuit against the hotel. Alisa Lamb's parents also sued the hotel for wrongful death, claiming that the Cecils should have done more to ensure the safety of their daughter and other guests.
I'm so sorry, parents.
Yeah.
The motion to dismiss of your case has been approved.
Yes.
Because in this case, the roof was so hard to access. Mm-hmm. It was locked. To get in the tank, you had to bring your own ladder. It's not foreseeable for the hotel that a person would drown. This isn't some sort of tripping hazard. That's how you can sue Kroger, or what is it? You slipped on pee-pee in the Costco. That's how you can sue a place like a hotel or a grocery store or something like that, is if it's a known hazard and they failed to take reasonable measures to protect the public. But I actually sat through a trial of a guy who sued a hotel because it was in Ohio, and I was here. He was from Dallas, I think. Anyway, it ended up in federal court, but he had tripped on a rug coming into the hotel. And, you know, they put the rugs out because it was snowing at the time, and it sops up all the water. And he tripped on the rug, but no one had reported to any staff members that the rug was, like, askew. Nobody else had tripped on it. So, basically, he made this big case. He was crying on the stand, and the judge fell asleep. It was actually a pretty bad performance from the plaintiff.
Wow.
But he had made this big, like, show of, like...
Was he hurt?
He broke his ankle, I think. I mean, he tripped and fell and broke his ankle, which sucks. But, like, you're not going to sue for $100,000 of damages. It's an accident. Sometimes, like, there's just accidents.
Sometimes accidents just happen.
It just happened. And in this case, the hotel couldn't have done anything because they didn't know that the rug was askew.
So if someone had said, hey, I've tripped over that rug coming in and out of here several times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They didn't do anything about it, and then he tripped.
Correct. It's a known hazard. They had a duty to remedy it. Or, like, if, say, for instance, you're lucky on King of the Hill and you slip on pee-pee in the Costco, the only way you're going to get a payout is if someone points out to a Costco worker, hey, there's pee-pee on the floor, and they go, oh, yeah, we'll get somebody, we'll see what happens, and then they don't do anything, and then Lucky comes along and slips on the pee-pee. Well, then Lucky is entitled to recover for his damages because it was a known hazard that Costco didn't fix. So in this case, there wasn't any complaints of, like, kids get up on the roof and go swimming in the tanks, or, like, people are going up there and bathing in the tanks. It was a closed-off area. They would have no reason to think anybody would go up there. So unfortunately, you know, the hotel is not responsible. However, on the class action lawsuit of the Funky Water situation, that case is still pending.
Oh, really?
It's certified as a class of people because it's everybody that stayed at the hotel from February 1st to February 19th when they extracted the body. Mm-hmm. Because as they were extracting her body, they were still checking guests in. And they were just don't drink the water. Just heads up. Just make sure you don't drink the water. They didn't shut the hotel down.
That's crazy.
They were giving guests bottles of water, but I don't think that.
It's like Flint.
Yeah. Right. This was one there. I like that there's a lawsuit from one single hotel versus a whole city of people that don't have water. Nobody's doing shit else about it. But in this case, the hotel knew they knew or reasonably should know if the guests are complaining, however long the guests were complaining, that they had a duty to fix the water.
Yeah.
And not poison the people with the body water.
I mean, it wasn't just don't drink this. You can't bathe in it. It goes to a coffee shop. It goes to the kitchen supplying all the food and everything for the hotel.
They just poisoned tons of people for
a long
time.
They need to shut that shit down.
Yeah. The hotel, even if it's not cursed with a demon, it's cursed with just bad ownership for the last 50, 100 years.
And just being a cesspool of gross shit.
It's just, oh, God. And we didn't even go. There's a whole list. People have killed themselves. A lady threw a baby out the window.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
I mean, people shot themselves, slit their... I mean, it is
one guy jumped out of the window, landed on a pedestrian standing in front of the hotel, killed them both.
Jesus, Lord. Yeah, so it's burn the thing down. Yeah. Bulldoze it and make it into a park or something. I don't know.
Well, they have. So due to all the horrific events associated over the years, they tried to rebrand themselves, called themselves the Stay on Main. That did not take, though. It was not enough to save its reputation, and it eventually boarded up its doors and windows. Currently, it has been purchased, and it's being renovated and remodeled into a mix of hotel rooms and residential units because, like we mentioned earlier, Skid Row is kind of being gentrified. They're trying to turn it around, and they're hoping this will also be turned around.
A very interesting take I read was a woman who was in charge of the Los Angeles Housing Council, and she, because American Horror Story has a season based on this hotel.
Okay. First of all, fuck that show. It sucks dick.
Hot take from Christy Rollins.
But also,
I've never watched it because it looked too spooky.
It's just stupid. I don't like Ryan Murphy, and the whole thing sucks. But and at me if you want. Tweet at me. I don't care. That show's the worst. But it's also just in such poor taste to it's in American Horror Story. There's been several shows. There was a How to Get Away with Murder, another made-for-TV movie. There's been tons of things based on this. It's this is a real person that died, and her family had to go through the most horrific thing, and now it's just been sensationalized and turned into this, Hollywood story.
That's true. I mean, it is it does kind of take advantage of a person who, passed away pretty tragically. Actually, a series of people who passed away pretty tragically. It makes me think of the hotel, the Hyperion Hotel on the TV show Angel, if any of you watched Buffy.
I did
Angel
not
fans.
Watch that.
Also a very scary hotel. David Boreanaz, that's peak hot David Boreanaz.
Yeah, he was
that,
pretty good looking.
The episode where they first get to the hotel. But anyway, the lady from the Los Angeles Housing Council had a really good point that for a while they were using part of the hotel, the Cecil Hotel, as low-income housing for, elderly, disabled, and, disadvantaged people. And by sort of, grossly taking advantage of its history and being this is a creepy haunted mm-hmm. hotel, you further, diminish the value, which then led those people all to get evicted from their house because then the owner was well, shit, it's a haunted place. I'm never going to make money. I might as well sell it. And now it got sold, and now you have all these people that got booted out on the street, basically, because somebody wanted to squeeze all they could out of the haunted / cursedness of this hotel. So I thought it was interesting that it's a way for Hollywood elites to prey on mm-hmm. these people who literally they're so poor that they have to live in a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
And now they can't even live there.
They're not doing it ironically because they think it's cool.
No, and now you fucked them and now they can't even live there.
Yeah.
And now where are they going to live?
It's super sad.
Yeah. It's real unfortunate.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app.
Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So we talked kind of about how after the fact, films, TV, various things played on this story. However, before this happened in 2005, the movie Dark Water came out.
Can I just briefly, it's just a side story about Dark Water.
Did you see it?
Oh, I saw it in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
We were in the second to last row. I was with my sister Shannon, my older sister, who's the toughest, coolest person I've ever met in my entire life. Shannon was wearing her glasses. She's since got contacts, but she had her glasses on at the time. And we're in the second to last row, and this guy behind us answers his cell phone. What year did you say it came out?
2005.
Oh, yeah. So I was about 18. Shannon would have been about 25, 24. I don't know, math. And the guy answers his cell phone, and he's like, "Oh, I'm in the movies. Yeah, I'm watching Dark Water," which is the AMC 30 in Mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm watching Dark Water. Nah, it's not very good. I don't know what happens. You know what? I'm not sure what happened." My sister whips her head around, doesn't say a word to the guy, and just starts staring at him.
Good for her.
And since we were in the second to last row, the light from the projector hits her glasses. So it's very obvious that she's turned around staring at him. And he's like, hang on a second. Hang on. What? To my sister. And
what
just
an idiot.
With full clarity and just the strength in her, of all get out in her voice, she goes, "Well, apparently your conversation's more important than the movie, so I thought I'd turn around and listen."
Oh, nice, Shannon.
And then he just puts the phone back up to his ear and goes, "I gotta go."
What happened in the mid-2000s where people thought they could just answer their phones whenever they wanted? Like, I don't go to any movie theater that isn't Alamo Drafthouse.
Same.
I refuse to pay $14 to sit in a movie theater where that kind of shit goes down.
Some idiot's just going to be whispering or chortling or talking over the movie.
Hell no. Answering their phone. You can't even
get out.
You can't even text in a
don't
Alamo.
Text. I don't want to hear. I almost got into a fight watching Straight Outta Compton, and I think, a great film, first of all.
Yeah.
I think I was feeling a little jacked up.
Yeah, that's a film that'll jack you up.
I felt like I could take on the world. And some kids a row ahead and a few seats down from me had their phone out. And I was like, "Hey, put your fucking phone up." And they turned and looked at me. And I was like, "Yeah, you."
Yeah.
And these youths were scared. And they're like, "The lady's so mad." I'm like, "Don't call me a lady." But
I saw that movie by myself at the North Park AMC.
Hell yeah. But they were just texting. They weren't even talking or anything. They just had their phone out.
But you see the light.
Thank
and it's distracting.
You. They were in front of me. And they're, yeah.
I got a lady kicked out of Alamo Draft
House. Did you really? It's a dream of mine. It's a dream.
Tommy and I went to go see It. It was opening weekend.
It's very important to Tommy as a Stephen King fan,
yes,
I imagine.
Yes, he had been looking forward to this movie for months. Like, it was, I was definitely pregnant. And we were very
You were pregnant
excited.
Watching the movie. You didn't get pregnant after the movie.
No, I got pregnant during the movie.
Hey.
No, I was very pregnant during the movie. But we were on the, end by the, the stairs. This fucking couple comes in. First of all, they come in late, so they miss the whole...
Shut the fuck up.
They miss the whole do not talk or text, you're going to be asked to leave spiel. They sit down immediately. She's clearly drunk. She came in drunk. Then they're ordering drinks. She's still drunk. She's talking to him, laying all over him. She starts getting on her phone and taking video of the movie.
No,
on her
she's
phone.
A bootlegger.
But it would just be like a minute clip. And then she's like posting.
I'm Snapchatting.
Yeah, she's Snapchatting or posting on Instagram or something. But she, the rest of the time, she's not watching the movie. She's just like paying attention enough to make it seem like on social media good that she's watching this movie.
God.
Then she starts vaping.
No. Come on.
Then she takes out a pill bottle and starts taking pills. And I was like, what is happening?
She's hitting rock bottom at Alamo.
She's everything. She's ticking all the boxes.
The trifecta.
Yeah. So I take out a little piece of paper like you're supposed to do and write down to our server. Like,
you just wrote, kill this woman.
I wrote, if you don't, I'm going to.
Yeah.
And they're always very cool about it. And they try not to act. Let on that you're the one that did it or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they usually, like, walk off, which is very nice.
She walks off, like I just ordered food or whatever. And, you know, they keep an eye on him and stuff. But then, of course, she shuts up.
Damn it.
Yeah, so then they leave. She starts doing it again. I'm like, motherfucker. Meanwhile, it's been, like, an hour of the movie that I haven't even been able to focus on.
Because of rage. That's my problem.
Enraged.
Well, for our non-U.S. listeners and our non-Dallas listeners, the Alamo Drafthouse is a sacred movie theater where if you talk, text, or make a scene or whatever, you get asked to leave once. And if not, they'll kick your ass out without a refund.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're famous.
You're warned once. If you do it again, you get kicked out.
And it's not just like a movie theater where you have to kind of complain about it. They're like super serious about it. And that's why it's the only movie theater I'll go to.
And they also have full bar and good food.
So
and
good. Gluten-free pizza, cider. I can, as a wheat allergist, I am just able to eat so many things there.
It's
chips
so
and
good.
Queso.
All of the previews before, well, not even the previews, like the stuff.
The pre-show is
the
tight.
The pre-show, it's themed to whatever movie you're watching.
Yes.
So it's really fun to get there like a half hour early and watch all the different like old shows.
They like clip together. Yeah, weird shit.
So
yeah.
The It one was super fun. It was like all old horror movies and like stuff about clowns and weird like YouTube videos about clowns and stuff.
So did they eventually kick her out?
Hell yes. I wrote another one and I was like,
you didn't do shit.
I was like, it is still happening. Now she's vaping. And so then they go and get a manager. And the manager just comes and stands beside us for like 20 minutes. Again, I cannot focus on anything other than what's happening. I'm
good
totally
God.
Missing the movie. She shuts up because the manager's standing right there. He leaves, immediately starts back. And I'm like, son of a bitch. But he had seen it. He had gone into the shadows because he knew that she was trying to trick him. And he saw it happen. And he came back over. And he was like, you got to go. And he made them get up and leave the theater.
That's awesome. Thank you, Alamo.
Yes. And then we got home and I emailed them. And I was like, you guys did such a great job of handling this. Heads up, though. I didn't get to see like an hour and a half of the movie because this was consuming me. And my husband was so excited to see this. He's the biggest Stephen King fan. And they were like, we totally understand. We're sending you two tickets.
They're
see
so
it whenever
good.
You want. Yeah.
That's there, so nice.
I think there's one in LA, isn't there?
Maybe so. I'm not sure. There should be one in every city
in
America.
It's the best.
It's the greatest business.
Shout out to them. Alamo Drafthouse. Please listen. Contact John Cusack. Y'all can do like a
screening
a team event.
Where you play Say Anything and then he asked me to marry him. It'll be great.
I want them to play, what's that movie where he's there at the motel?
Identity?
Oh, fuck. That movie's so good.
Here's a fun fact about me. If I like an actor, I watch every single movie that they've ever been in, including shitty ones. And not that Identity is a shitty one, but I watched all of John Cusack's movies. And shout out to my friend Gypsy. There's a movie called The Factory that John Cusack's in. And it's like they're like stealing babies and selling them. And she just was like, that's the fucking worst movie.
I've never even heard of
it. Don't watch it. It's dumb. It's so dumb.
Most of his movies are very good, though. And he's got
beautiful.
A lot of fun 80s movies. Identity's great.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
Oh, man. John Cusack.
John Cusack, love you. Alamo Drafthouse, love you. Elisa Lam.
Bless
we're
you,
very
heart.
Sorry.
God, it's just such a, it's such a, it got such widespread attention because of that elevator video.
Yeah.
And what seems otherworldly and demonic, and, you know, it's the Occam's Razor thing we always talk about. It's like the most simple explanation is probably what it is this is probably just a very unfortunate situation where she had some sort of medication issue or relapse where she wasn't taking her medicine. They did do a test on the autopsy that she had taken one of the medicines the day of and one of them the day before but hadn't taken any of the other medicines in a recent enough time that they could attest to the amount of blood they had.
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
Yeah. The coroner took almost 4 months to release the autopsy report because various things kept happening.
Yeah, they did say, this is very graphic, but that she had a prolapsed anus with like a lot of pooling in that area. So some people say that maybe she was attacked. Others say that could happen just in the natural decomposition mm-hmm. process if you're floating face up. But
which
that's
the
question
was.
Is
she
when
was found floating face
when
up.
When you drown, don't you drown face down?
You would think.
You know? So there's
So you think maybe she was thrown in there dead?
Yeah, or thrown in there unconscious.
Yeah.
Something bad happened to her, so bad that it, you know, she was unconscious and then she drowned. If you're unconscious and you're in water, you know, you just breathe in what's around you. It's not going to wake you up.
The fact that she was found face up, naked.
Yeah.
And her cell phone was never found.
And posts happened on her Tumblr
yes.
after her death.
So that's to add insult to injury. Her blog continued to update after her death. And it could be explained by Tumblr's queue feature.
Yes, you can set posts to post later.
So she may have scheduled these to post before anything happened. But because her cell phone was never located, some think maybe the person responsible for her death logged into her account
was messing
to continue
with her family.
The mind games, which is so, that's so, there's a lot of questions to this day. It has not been solved. It's ruled as an accidental drowning with bipolar as a contributing factor. Yeah. But no one has been able to solve, like, exactly
her poor family
what happened.
They just want answers.
Yeah. It's really sad. I doubt we'll ever get answers, but it is one of those things, like you said, it's so, like, fascinating to amateur sleuths, and because this the elevator video is so viral, like, even, I mean, this happened years ago, and it's still, like, a very talked-about case that draws a lot of attention and curiosity and morbid fascination to it.
I think so. Man.
We'll post the video on our new website.
Oh, it's beautiful. Check it out, sinisterhood.com.
Yes.
Christy did a phenomenal job.
Oh, well, it was very plug and play, but thank you very much.
You did a phenomenal job researching where we should have.
Oh, yes, yeah. That took some effort, but yeah, it's still sinisterhood.com, but it just looks pretty sweet and swanky, and there's more information about us and the show and all sorts of fun stuff on it, and our episodes are, like, categorized all neat and sweet, so.
A couple of listener shout-outs.
Yeah.
We got to shout out Matt from Australia.
He is so nice.
He's the funniest, too. He sends the funniest messages. We
and
love
he,
it.
And he always messages us. He usually tweets us.
Yes, I love it.
Or DMs us just to comment on, like, things we said in an episode. So he's always listening. Most recently, the quote that we posted when we do our quotes on Thursday of our favorite things from the previous episode, the one you said, Heather, of... I was just left standing there with
my empty bun, like an idiot.
Yeah, because the
Don't
seagull
the
had taken your
seagull.
Wiener. He said he thinks it's really funny that we call them wieners because in Australia they call them hot dog sausages.
Hot dog sausages.
Which
very
makes
specific.
Way more sense.
100% makes more sense.
I was like, no, we're the stupid idiots. Why do we call them wieners? There's zero reason to call them
makes
wieners.
Makes no sense. It's a sausage that goes in a hot dog bun.
Yeah.
It's a hot dog sausage.
It's a hot dog sausage. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's great. So is Laura Harris.
Love Laura Harris. She guessed our Slender Man quotes.
Yes. And she also emailed us with a very interesting topic she wants us to do, which is another
Ooh.
Warren case. So you know Heather's going to
be all
over that one.
I'll
be
on board. Shout out to Marilla, my childhood friend who still listens, and she always texts me funny stuff and listens to us while she works out. So you go, girl.
Oh.
Get your workout on.
Yeah.
And also shout out to Susie in Chicago, who sent me a message today and said she listens, and she got her friend Diana and my friend Diana to listen.
Oh,
so
nice.
Shout out to Susie and Diana, and congratulations, Diana is engaged. That's so exciting.
Wow.
And yeah.
Get your fiance to listen.
Also,
please.
Tell your fiance, his friends and family, your friends and family.
Make a speech at your wedding.
I think, you know, the bride doesn't always make a speech, but you could take this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Or Susie,
you
if Susie's going to be maid of honor, Susie, I think your maid of honor speech should definitely...
Put it in the program.
Yeah, do a plug. Let's do a plug. yeah.
Speaking of plugs...
Oh, yes.
We have a live show.
Yes.
October 26th. That's a Friday. We had been saying it was 11 p.m.
Correction,
it's 11:30 p.m.
I was going to say we didn't always say 11, but it's 11:30 for clarity's sake. And you can check out tickets at DallasComedyHouse.com. You don't have to have a ticket, though. It's... just a free show, so you can just come at 11:30. We're going to do a pre-party to be determined in Deep Ellum, where we'll do kind of like a hangout, and you can come hang out with us.
A meet and greet.
Well, meet and greet for people who already know
for
us.
For people that already have met and greeted us.
But we'll probably stream it on Facebook Live or Instagram or both, just to like interview our friends and talk about creepy stuff, because it's going to be right around Halloween. So I love, one of my favorite icebreaker questions is, have you ever seen a ghost?
That's a good one.
Well, people think you're weird. It's fine. It's just
They're like, yes, I have, and I've been dying to talk to somebody about it.
And that's most of the things are like, well, I don't know if it was a ghost, but I had an encounter. And I'm like, I am all about your encounter.
Let's
tell me. And we want to thank all of the people that helped us with our new logo.
Oh, my gosh. I love
it. Taylor Shepherd. She's super talented. I love her so much. Austin Guttery. And Cameron Goldapp and Franklin Countryman coming
takes
in.
A village.
Look,
takes
yeah,
a village,
we're like, can you do this one thing? Because another person doesn't have time or doesn't know how. So it was a great team effort, and it has just come off so beautifully. And
it
we
looks
love
great.
All four of
we're
y'all.
We're gonna have stickers made soon.
We'll have stickers to give away at the live show, and some
other,
things
goodies too, to give away at the live show. Thank you to my husband and best friend, Tommy Brown. For
making a baby with you.
Making a baby with me, asking me to marry him, editing the podcast.
Fixing the computer parts of the podcast.
Cooking dinner, waiting till I get home to watch the next episode of Survivor Season 12.
That's true love.
Really,
that's all
is.
I want, is for John Cusack to wait for me at home to watch the next episode of our show.
Gosh,
I'll post my John Cusack picture on our Instagram, too.
Please do.
I'm very proud of it.
Gosh, you got to tag him, too. I think I follow him on Twitter. He's very political.
He's very political. He's woke, y'all.
He's very woke.
So what I need all of our followers to do is then tag John Cusack in the post so he gets attention, so it goes viral, and then we can go on a date. That would be fantastic.
I like to think he's got enough of a sense of humor and quirkiness about him that he'd be like, I'll check this out.
I will come to Chicago to go on a date with you, boo.
Oh, my God. I will, too. I won't go on the date, but I'll go.
Christy, give us some privacy.
I'll go with Heather for moral support, and then I'll just do my own thing in Chicago.
I'll go
see a show or something while
we'll
you
Hamilton.
Guys go.
All right. Well, Hamilton. If you guys, in addition to tagging John Cusack in every Sinisterhood post.
Always.
Please like, review, and subscribe on iTunes. If you subscribe, it's super easy because a new episode will just pop in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. That's even better than the liking and subscribing. It really helps us grow, and it means like a ton to us if you like it enough to tell a friend.
Yes.
Or do a speech about it. It made your maid of honor at a wedding.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Heather, where are you at?
I'm on Instagram at Heather VS The World and on Twitter at MCK VS The World.
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and Twitter at Christy or GTFO. As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply.
sponsored by Chumba Casino.